Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Sri Devi, who is here to speak with us about her recent experience of participating in the Visiting Monk Program. Welcome, Sri Devi.
Hey, Jen.
Hey. So I was just thinking how, you know, it's amazing. At least for me, I always find it inspiring when we get to talk to folks about the Visiting Monk Program and their experience. And certainly I have the great privilege of getting to hear people speak when they're in group, when they're at the monastery, and how inspiring that is for all of us. And I think one of the things that's so inspiring about hearing from people regularly is how much the impact that that sort of practice has for each of us on the large basis, but also individually, how it depends so much on kind of where we are in our practice and how that impacts us. And so we wanted to have you on to get to talk about, for you in particular, kind of what the impact has been for you in your practice in getting to participate in that way.
Oh my gosh. Well,
where to start?
I was just thinking where to start. I'm a rehearser, and I did not rehearse, so we're just going to see how this goes. But
oh, very good. I project that's an outgrowth of the Visiting Monk Program right there.
I'm going to confirm your projection.
Very good.
You know the word that dropped in the last couple of days, and it's been just in moments where I've thought about getting the excitement of getting to talk tonight, is just magical. It's just a magical experience. And for myself, I was really at a place of being in a really, really, frankly, karmic crisis point. I had a moment where I was walking along in October, and I just had this insight of, you know what, I won't go into all of it, but just knowing in that moment I needed something different for this human being. And I remember walking into the HR office, and just within like 2 days, I was confirmed, or within a week, and going to go. Wow. And what was so powerful about that is to put this human being first. And I think the most important, not most important, but one of the most powerful experiences of being a visiting monk is that for myself, I got to develop this incredible deep connection with this human being. Because, you know, different from being on retreat, you are there living your day, and you get up, and you meditate, and you go along your day, and you do your assignments. And the funny thing is, you know, yes, there's silence, but there's really no silence. Because what you see very quickly is when no one else is talking to you, and there are no TV, there are no books, you can't be on Facebook, there's no music playing, you realize how constant the conversation is. And I would see with every moment just certain things that would happen. Oh, I would drop a pot. Oh, my gosh, I forgot to change my outdoor shoes and my indoor shoes. And the beating that would come in. And I just got to experience very quickly every day how suffering works, and the choice to end it, because I could either every single day of my 5 weeks there be beaten up, or I could choose to let it go and love this human being. And to build on that every single day is frankly just one of the most magical, inspiring, deep experiences I've ever had.
Wow. There's now it's my turn to say where to start. I mean, because that's just extraordinary. I mean, I think two of the elements that really stood out for me in what you're describing is that the structure is what is so transformative for us, I think, in any stay at the monastery. You know, so we have that structure on retreat, and it's just extraordinary because, you know, in conditioned mind, structure is terrible, and I don't want structure, and I want freedom. But what we realize is that the structure is the portal to the freedom, and that what you're describing is that being a visiting monk, you both have the structure and you have that extended time to have kind of that day-to-day experience that we don't so much get to have on retreat. And that in that day-to-day experience, you encounter the things that you encounter in your life, like you, quote, make a mistake, you know, you forget to do something, you drop something, you whatever. And so you encounter the suffering that happens around that. And with the support and the structure of being at the monastery, you get to over and over and over practice making the choice to not suffer.
Yeah, yeah. And just the choice of what conversation do I want to be in? Because that conversation is right there with conditioning. So the other really beautiful thing is, you know, there is no, like, you know, on retreat, what's so wonderful is we get assignments about recording and listening and look at this.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing like that necessarily when you're a visiting monk. And so what I got to do is the power of the choice to record and listen. And because I really wanted to be there, I mean, I'll tell you one quick funny story. There was a day early on where this voice dropped in that was just like, maybe I'm just the kind of person who just wants to sit around all day on weekends and watch TV and do nothing. Maybe I just need to accept that. And what was hilarious was right after that, the mentor came in and said, girl, if you were that person, you would not be here as a visiting monk.
Yeah, exactly. Wait a minute. And, which choices are we making here?
Yeah, and that power of connecting with that mentor every day, because I had a particular commitment to myself while I was there to do daily two-handed recordings. I did it every morning and every evening. And oh my gosh, I just get this warm glow just even talking about it, because the depth of a connection with that mentor every day, what it really felt like and continues to feel like, because I'm still doing it every day here, is I'm in unconditional love and guidance all the time. And that the program, the structure, and the choice to end suffering and to choose this human being, that's what happens. It's just to be in love and guidance all the time. It's really incredible.
Wow, extraordinary. And so realizing that's a process that we can learn, that process of being in guidance, of being in conscious compassion and awareness all the time, it's truly a skill. And that, so if I decide that's what I want in my life all the time, not occasionally, not take vacations from self-hate and go off on retreat, but that's what I want in my life, then, you know, as you say, you walking down the street in October and realizing I need something else. I mean, basically what it sounds like is I need some really solid support for a period of time to really have that skill take hold. And that's what you gave yourself.
Yeah, and just to echo that, yes, I mean, one of the deep deep connections I made was being in the process of training. And so coming back, my commitment is to be training every moment that I can, sitting on a cushion, recording and listening, participating, because it's all training. Because I think this was said, I forget where it was said recently, but I think Sherry said this before, when we know what we're going for, when we really know what our heart is going for, everything else, it's kind of easy for everything else to align. So I know what I'm going for, and conditioning is doing what it's doing, but that process of training, it's just actually really easy. And just, you know, real quick, I know we're almost at the hour. One of the most powerful experiences I had was the experience of knowing that the joy is always there no matter what. And that and I can just be with it. And just one story, it happened right towards the end of my stay. I was in a process of working meditation, just folding some linens, perfectly in joy. And, you know, just enjoying what I was doing. And all of a sudden, the story dropped in, a familiar story. And I just watched the identification happen and just the energy shift in the body. And it felt like less than 30 seconds. I just went, oh, whoa, what just happened here? I was just in a place of joy. What happened?
Yeah.
And what my experience was the ability to identify that so quickly was being there every day, choosing presence, choosing this human being. You build this incredible muscle, and you know what presence is, and you can't unknow that. So you get, I mean, at least my experience was just the ability to see really quick when we're not being present. There's no confusion about it. It's just very clear, and that, again, is so powerful.
Yes. Yeah, that's the word that kept coming up for me too, Sri Devi, is just that clarity and how helpful that is, because, boy, those bamboozles fly at us, right, one after the other. But to have that clarity, which is a huge reason I think recording and listening is such a foundation of practice, to have that recording and listening to remind us of what that clarity is, and then everything that happens, including, I would project now that you're not at the monastery, that everything that happens continues to be part of that training when we're clear about what we're actually wanting for ourselves in our lives.
Yeah, and I'll just say, I think within 2 days after I'd gotten back, I called into Project Joy, and I was like, I'm still joyful, and I'm back at work, and I'm still joyful. And I think it's been 2 weeks now, and I'm still joyful.
So wow.
It's very exciting, and I'm just so grateful. And just a real quick, deep gosho to you, to Sherry, to Ashwini, and all of the monks.
Yeah.
It's an incredible experience. I really, it's my heart's desire that for anyone who chooses it to go, because it really is transformative, it's really magical, and it's one of the kindest things that I think we can choose for ourselves.
Yes. Well, and I know you've heard us say it on any number of Good News Updates where we've spoken with other folks who have participated in this way, that to me, it's a huge gift to the monastery. It's a huge gift in particular to the residents of the monastery, and I project it's a huge gift to the whole Sangha. So deep gesho to you as well, including being with us this afternoon to share your experience.
Of course. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Sridevi. Take good care.
You as well.
Okay. Good night.
Good night.
And Michael, we'll turn it over to you and Sherry.
Wonderful. Thank you, Jen, and thank you, Sridevi. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael. Wasn't that fun?
It was fun.
I'm just sitting here grinning.
Just
sitting here grinning. I so wish that people would really hear what they were talking about, what Sridevi was saying, what Jen was saying, and get it. If you're going to do one thing for yourself, one thing for yourself in this lifetime, do that. Have that experience so that you know without a doubt that circumstances are not in control of your life, that the joy, as Sridevi said, the joy is always there, that as soon as we know where it is, we can choose it in each and every moment. It's just and it's so kind. It's such an outrageously kind thing for one to do for oneself. And, of course, the voices, you know, it's not like Sridevi, you know, didn't have anything going on in her life, you know, which is because that's where the voices start. Oh, well, but, you know, I have my job and I have my person and I have my home and I have my family and all, you know, I couldn't possibly do something. Yeah, we can. Yeah, we can. Actually, we can.
Yeah.
It's fun.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of energy and enthusiasm in that conversation. It's great.
Mm-hmm. And I think Jeff was on last week or 2 weeks ago or something like that. And what he was talking about, if I remember correctly, is having the outrageous idea of coming on retreat 3 times in this year and then watching that process come together and watching that possibility open up and seeing how he could do that, making that choice. And so we just have to choose ourselves. That's where the power is. We choose ourselves, what's good for us, what makes us happy, what brings us joy. Is that selfish? No. There's nobody in a family who would not say to another member of the family, if this is going to put you in kind of the ability to be in joy whenever, I'll help you get there. And especially if you'll help me get there, right? Because there's nobody in a family who's going to say, no, I need you to stay home and continue to struggle with those voices and being beaten up and punished and tortured. We need you to stay around for that. That's just not going to happen. Even kids are going to say, no, go. Get happy. And then come back. That's right. We're all going to be happier with happy parents.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Happy, you know, employers are happier with happy employees. Coworkers are happier with happy coworkers. You know, it just, there's nothing except ego loses in this.
Yeah, exactly. Great.
Mm-hmm. Anything going on? Oh, good.
Yes. Speaking of being at the monastery, step away from the pressures of day-to-day living and immerse yourself in a monastic community completely focused on waking up. The Your Practice Retreat, April 28th through May 5th, at the Zen Monastery Peace Center near Murphy's, California, provides individualized support with what you choose as your practice focus for your stay. The retreat is a prerequisite for anyone considering being a first-time visiting monk.
Mm. Well, that goes, all goes nicely together, doesn't it? You know, you think somebody was thinking this out and sort of planning it. Mm-hmm. Maybe they are, huh? I bet.
Yes. And if you're already meditating in the morning or wish to start, why not enjoy the extra boost of meditating with Sangha? Virtual meditation groups are a unique way to receive the support and connection of practicing with Sangha. These conference call meditation sessions include a 30-minute sit followed by a reading. New group times will be added starting this Thursday, February 1st. For a full schedule of virtual groups, please visit the Virtual Meditation Groups webpage. Also, beginning Thursday, you can sign up for the When You're Falling Dive retreat in North Carolina, April 9th through 14th. Facilitated by Sherry and Ashwini, this retreat supports you as you dive deeply into emotions you've never been allowed truly to examine. The retreat includes yoga, delicious vegetarian meals, and individual guidance with you, Sherry.
Michael?
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I think I lost you for just a second. Yeah. Yes, I am.
Okay.
That sounds like
okay,
fun.
Okay, great.
That yes, sounds like a fun retreat.
Yes, it sounds great. It sounds great. Mm-hmm. And if you'd like to talk with Sherry today, you can make cash show to indicate your desire by pressing *6 and then 1 and focus on one topic, please, in about 5 minutes is great.
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you. You ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, here we go. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, it's Catherine from St. Louis.
Hello,
hi, Catherine.
Hi. I called to report a breakthrough. And
I love those, don't you?
Me too, yeah, and I wasn't even looking for one.
Oh,
it was a major gift. I was... in a workshop recently, and there was some Sangha also participating in the workshop, and virtually all of the workshop, I was just saying no to everything. Like, I don't want to do that. I'm not going to record and listen about that. I'm not going to write that down. I don't want to do that. And at the same time, I was doing it. And there'd be all this no, 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 and no. And then I'd go ahead and do it. And after a couple of hours of that, there was just this tiny, very brief moment where I became aware that whoever was saying no was an identity, and I was not that. I know.
Now that is a grand moment, isn't it?
It was, and it was very brief, and there wasn't any, you know, the skies didn't open and choirs didn't sing and that kind of thing. But wow! And then it dropped in. Well, if I have distance from that. And if I can see that there's an identity saying no, then I'm not, I can see that I am not that.
Yeah.
because at that moment I was not it. And if I had a dollar for every time you'd said, you know, resistance, what resistance is? It's not you. You know, it's not us. It's not who we are. Mm-hmm. But and I kind of knew that. But this was just a real, I wasn't even looking at this. I wasn't.
Right.
Somebody was paying attention, you know.
Well,
but
yes. And you had a direct experience of it.
Yes.
Right? Because Catherine, I would say, you were doing what the voice said it didn't want to do.
Yeah.
Right? If you had quit doing what you were doing and just gone with the voice, yeah, I don't want to do that. I don't want to record and listen about that. I'm not going to write that down. Then ego, which is what that is, would have won. And that's what it counts on, right? But you were aware that that voice was saying all of those things, but you were still writing stuff down and recording and listening or doing whatever the assignment was. And that's what creates the opening for you to have a direct experience of that kind of insight.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let me ask you this about that. So it was super subtle, and it lasted, we could say, less than a split second. But if you were going to write down everything you saw and realized in that split second of subtlety, it would probably take you a very, very long time to do that. Is that true?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yep. In that split second of being present to that kind of clarity, our whole lives change.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean that you'll stay in that clarity. I mean, right? I don't know of anybody who even claims to have done that. I guess there are people.
Mm-hmm.
Claim that, but we can sense that maybe they're getting something out of it besides the clarity of being rich and famous. But the Buddha never claimed it, and I go with him usually. But once you have that experience, it's like Sri Devi talking about the joy. Once you have that experience, you know it exists. And that's what changes us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, and there wasn't. This was so. It's. I want to say that it was unlike any experience I've had. Although that's maybe not necessarily true. Any that I can recall in awareness practice, where it didn't. It was just quiet, just exactly as you described. Very quick. Very quiet, and there it was,
and
it's huge. And since then, I've been saying yes to everything it comes my way, and
right, because you know that's where you want to be.
Yeah.
I mean, now again, I'll let you talk in just a minute, but what you experienced and what I project you knew intuitively is that's a portal. You entered into a different dimension, a different, it's not an altered state, but you entered into a clarity that you had not experienced before.
Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, and
so
it wasn't.
So you want to go through that again. You want to see that again. You want that to happen to you again.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and there wasn't a sense of I. Like I'm somebody else.
No.
There was. It was just awareness. I'm not that.
Yep.
But
there wasn't
a sense of I'm something else. You know, it wasn't like there was another identity there.
Nope.
It was very, you're right, I could write
volumes.
A whole lot of...
Yeah, and in the writing, you know, we would probably get more and more distant from the experience,
mm-hmm.
right? Because it's the only, you and I can have this conversation, because I know what you're talking about. Right? If you tried to have this conversation with somebody else, they might try to understand you for a while. I mean, somebody who hadn't had the experience. There's other people who have had the experience. I'm not saying you and I are the only ones. But if you tried to explain this, tell this to somebody who hadn't had the experience, they might try to follow you for a little while, and then their eyes would slowly glaze over, and they'd wander off. Because you can't understand it if you haven't had the experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, and it says to me, Sherry, the importance of the wisdom of showing up, the wisdom of showing up and participating, even if it doesn't feel like you're totally engaged in it.
Yep. And I think if I know what you're talking about in terms of the event that came up in that event, a variation on that, we have to lose interest in how we feel, and we have to lose interest in what we think. We have to. That's the only way we can be present enough for this kind of thing to happen. Because I don't want to, I don't feel like it, I hate this, I want to do something. All of that is designed to remove us from the possibility of that split second of clarity that changes everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I really feel so fortunate, and I'm so grateful. So
I want to
say
something else. Yeah, I am too. I just kiss the ground every day of our lives for this possibility and availing ourselves of it. And the other thing that I would add to this is not just for us, but for everybody who's listening to this, in my experience, the surest way to that portal is recording and listening. And where it really shows up is not when we're recording, but when we're listening. Because when we're listening, we are very much in the place that you were in when you had that experience. So we're attending to what we're listening to. We're not being a somebody, now I'm not saying this happens all the time, but increasingly it happens. We're not being a somebody, and we are engaged with what we're listening to, and that creates the opening for that kind of clarity to drop in. So people who have been doing recording and listening for a long time will talk about listening to recordings, and you're listening along, and then you go, oh, because you just saw something else, right? And you make a recording about that, and you're listening along, and, oh, you see something about that, and you record it. And what we're doing is opening that portal so that that insight, that intuition has an easier, more ready access to us.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. All right. Well,
yes.
As
Thank
we
you.
Like to say, go happy.
Thank you. You too. Go happy.
Thanks, Catherine.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Catherine. Sherry, I love that conversation, especially the wisdom of showing up and participating, and also what you added there about the end, at the about the magic of listening and seeing additional layers.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. That showing up, the way Catherine described it, going along, participating, doing whatever, and the voice says, I don't want to, I don't feel like it, it's too hard, I'm too tired, I'm in, blah, blah, blah. And we just keep doing it. Because as we were talking about in what she was referring to, we get to choose how we want to be. And process, not content. So I get to choose that I want to live in integrity. I want to be willing. I want to come from kindness. So that sort of process thing. So if kindness or unconditional love or that sort of thing is what I'm choosing to be, it doesn't matter what I'm doing. You can't. So I don't feel like folding the laundry. What does that have to do with a commitment to being kind? Right? Being kind, the only way I'm not going to be kind is if I'm listening to a voice whine about what a victim I am for having to do this. If I don't do that, then being kind as I'm folding the laundry is not particularly tricky. And that that positions us in that place that Catherine was pointing us to.
Wow. Great. Mm-hmm. Great. Mm-hmm. And we have another caller here, Sherry.
Okay.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Jeff in North Carolina.
Hey, Jeff.
Hey.
Hey.
I was just talking about you. Were your ears burning, as they say?
Well, I did hear you say that, and it is true. That is what I said.
Okay, good. I didn't misrepresent you. That's good. That's good. All right. Well, what's going on now?
Well, I just want to mention this briefly. It was just interesting to notice that just a little before I was unmuted here. You know, there was the voice dropping in that said, you know, that I'm not going to get on tonight. So I just wanted to say that briefly. That was pretty funny.
It never lets us down, does it? It's right there. And again, now for people who haven't been watching this as long as say you and I have, along with that is, well, you're not going to get on tonight, and you know you have all these other things to do. Why don't you just hang up? You know, you can call in again next week. You're not going to get on. It's just wasting your time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But we don't fall for that anymore.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Not to mention because whether I get on tonight or not, the show is going to be great. There's going to be all kinds of things.
It's all for us, isn't it?
Right. Exactly. I've been looking at this as some kind of health situation. I've talked about health a lot on Open Air and other places in practice. And actually, you know, there are quite a few things that have gotten into really good places health-wise. And then, you know, there's this one right now that's kind of becoming more acute or whatever. And so I'm in a process of, looking at what options there are healthcare-wise and kind of zeroing in on, you know, a possible practitioner that I, you know, and a possible course of action. And I feel really good about that. I feel really good about that process. It's good to say that out loud because I wasn't really aware of that before. And part of this the process will be, you know, the money there for this particular thing. It doesn't tend to be covered. It's kind of the in between medical and dental, mm-hmm. and neither wants to cover it for the most part. And you know, there are various other complications.
Amazing, isn't it? What do you have? Oh, we don't cover that. And by the way, the bill, what you owe us is, anyway, go ahead.
Anyway, so, you know, so I don't know how that's going to work out. Kind of my feeling right now is that, I think it feels like now's the time to address it. You know, I don't know how the finances are going to work out, and you know, I don't know that I have the money to cover this if they were to work out in the way that would cost me the most money, but you know, it just feels like now is the time to do it. Now is the time to, because it really, I suspect it could very easily just get worse and worse and worse. So anyway, I'm not really sure where I'm going with any of that, but kind of that's what I'm looking at in this moment.
Mm-hmm. And so if I'm going along here with you, there is an intuition that this is the time, It's not just a conversation of fear and dread and that sort of thing. There's an intuition that this. And so in those situations, I always like to look at, so, you know, 10 years from now or 20 or 30 or at the moment of your death, what are you going to feel good about?
Yeah.
And that can be that sort of thing that we, you know, sit with and wait for life to drop in the answer to that question. Not into a ping pong match of dualistic thinking of, well, but this and well, but that, but if you do, and here are the pros and here are the cons, and but just allowing that clarity to come, that looking back on it, I think what I would feel good about is having X, done X, and what I would probably regret is Y.
Yeah, excuse me. Yeah, I mean, I don't know, but to me, first of all, I'm glad you said that thing about the, you know, not just the sphere thing, but the intuition, because that was another thing I wasn't aware of until we're having this conversation, is it does really feel like that. It does really feel like that there is an intuition that, yes, this is the time to address this. And yes, I don't know for sure, of course, but I feel like I'm on a good track in terms of where I'm going, the kind of research that I'm doing and what I'm looking at. And then to look at what you're saying, you know, I mean, it, to me, it comes in right away, at least, you know, what comes in right away is I would feel good about, I mean, right now, it feels like I would feel good about having taken this action, having addressed it promptly, having said, you know, the physical health of this person is more important than the finances, so we'll deal with the finances. Who knows how that's going to work out, but we'll you know, life's going to take care
of
us.
It always has. Right? It always has.
Yeah, exactly. And that's so good too. Because I wasn't looking at that before, again, before this conversation. That it's just okay. That you would trust life with that. Not blindly trust life, not just go out and do, you know, crazy stuff and say, oh, well, you know, life's got this. But in terms of feels like the thing to do, this feels like the direction to go, so I assume that, you know, as we kind of use a metaphor, I assume that the, you know, the ground will appear in front of me, or, you know, if you know what I mean.
And if it doesn't, then you, there will be a lot for you in that.
Uh-huh, good point. Yeah. Right.
There'll because
be stuff to see.
Because sometimes we get talked into things, and we don't know we're being talked into them, because it just feels like the right thing or whatever. And so if there's that going on subtly, and we find that out, that's very helpful too.
Right. Yeah. Right, that, you know, maybe this, what I'm saying is intuition, and what I'm saying, you know, I would feel good about having done. Maybe I'm, you know, not on the right track here, like as it seems like I am. And, you know, that will be like, oh, wow, okay, interesting, let me look at that.
Yeah, and with that, one of the places that I like to play with, two little games I like to play. One is I set a date out in the future somewhere, and I, when that time comes, the night before that, I'm going to go to bed, and when I wake up in the morning, I'm going to know what I'm going to do. Not I'm going to know what's right. I'm going to know what I'm going to do. So that's just kind of taking it out of the hands of conditioning, of ego. And the other one that I find particularly helpful is looking at it, being with it. So I'm going to do it. So I spend a week, you know. Now I'm gonna do it, And then I'm looking at it, and I'm making plans about it, and I'm seeing how all of that could work. You know, I'm getting all the guidance I can about that. And then the next week, I'm not going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And just watch everything that arises about that. And often we can trick ego into revealing its hand.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I'm all set to do it, and it's really ego talking me into it, or I'm all set not to do it, and it's ego talking me out of it, and then I change my mind, it goes from, you know, just kind of a laid-back, casual conversation to, what? What do you mean? And we can sense that it's not as neutral as it was presented.
Mm. Yeah, so, so really, what I'm... It's funny. I saw the sign that I have in my room, and the word on here, relax. But what I hear in what you're saying is, take the possibility of taking the time,
yes,
to really to use it as an opportunity to see the process or processes involved.
Yes.
So,
exactly so
this is a practice opportunity. So yes, it seems really real. Yes, there's this pain. Yes, you know, this the story that this could happen if it's not addressed soon. And you know, so it's
we
an opportunity. Yeah, it's an opportunity to see what's going on here.
Yeah. Because, at least in my experience, there are very few things. I mean, if your appendix is bursting, you might want to deal with that pretty quickly. And
right.
With something like that, we usually have a lot of information that now is the time to address this, right? But with so many things, conditioning wants us to get very urgent about things so that then its influence just increases. But with most things, we actually can take much more time than those voices in the head would tell us to really be still and look and be open and as you say, you know, use it as a workshop. Take advantage of it. This is something happening in your life. There's much for you in this, and you want to take advantage of the opportunities to see all of it.
Mm. Yeah.
All right.
Okay. Very good. Thank you, Sherry.
Thank you, Jeff. Thank you.
Right. Thank you, Michael.
You're welcome. Thanks for joining us, Jeff. Sherry, another fascinating conversation, and I really appreciated the sense of recognizing urgency for what it is. And I remember you telling stories about people, particularly in medical situations, feeling that urgency and making a decision and regretting it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think we all hear tons of those.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so this is everything in life is our best opportunity. And so with that, taking responsibility for ourselves, I'm always encouraging people, instead of just rushing off to turn our lives over to somebody else, whatever area of our lives, that knee-jerk, find an expert and then do whatever they say, rather than I want to avail myself of as many experts as I can find to educate myself, not to abdicate responsibility.
Yes, yes. It's my life. I'm the expert. I love
right.
to get ideas and opinions and opportunities, and ultimately I'm the one who's going to have to live with this.
That's
decision.
Right. And with that attitude, we'll never have any regrets.
Mm-hmm.
But if we don't take responsibility, the chance of having regrets is really big.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. Great. And Sherry, we're going to hear from our recording and listening program, and then we'll be right back.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Recording and listening is one of the most powerful tools for ending suffering. Recording and listening is based on a radical idea that rather than being lost in a conversation in conditioned mind, we can live in a conversation about what's true, what's real, what's arising in life in the moment. With recording and listening, we develop the powerful skill of directing the attention, enabling us to access the wisdom, love, and compassion that is our authentic nature. We have a 6-week virtual class to train in this amazing tool and experience its benefits. Sangha who have taken this class are saying that learning to direct the attention opens up endless possibilities and so often provides clarity and hope. Others report that finding refuge in my own voice and strengthening the awareness of the mentor is both transformative and powerful. Now is a great time to sign up with a recording and listening trainer. This class is perfect for brand new folks and old timers alike. To sign up with an individual trainer, simply email rltrainer@livingcompassion.org. Please check the website for quarterly group classes as well. Experience the joy of presence with the support of recording and listening.
Welcome back to Open Air. And Sherry, we have another caller here.
All right.
Okay. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. It's Jen in Rhinebeck.
Hi, Jen.
Hey, Jen.
Hello.
What are you up to?
Well, I'm excited by all of the other calls.
Uh-huh.
I'm appreciating how, you know, that when, you know, the idea that what we do for everybody else, too, you know. Like, I feel mm-hmm. like I was just on a month-long retreat.
Uh-huh.
Just from listening, you know.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And you know, Jen, not to derail you from whatever you were going to talk about, but
yeah.
that is an enormous commercial for recording
yeah.
and listening.
Yeah.
Because mm-hmm. what you listened to took you to an experience. That's
yep.
our whole point. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. Yes, and I've had the experience of being a visiting monk too, so that also makes it easier to go back to, you know, just sitting here in my living room.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
Yeah. So I'm going to echo the encouragement that people do it. It
mm-hmm.
is life-changing. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But one of the things I'm looking at lately is I've been noticing, and I feel like I'm conditioning doesn't even want me to talk about this because I've always been really careful to try and not sound too woo-woo. It, you know, it's
really?
Maybe hard to believe.
You must not live in California.
I don't live in California, but you know where I work, and, you know, I certainly...
Yeah, that's pretty woo-woo.
I talk to the people who talk to the dead people, but I don't talk to the dead
uh-huh.
people.
Uh-huh. You draw a line there.
But what I've been noticing is that I don't know how to describe it. It's like how my energy follows my thoughts. And the thoughts are like always outside of me. They're, you know, it's like my eyes move a particular way, like I'm looking in certain spaces, like often when I'm sitting in meditation, set of thoughts about the future, my eyes go off to the right, you know, there's
mm-hmm.
like you feel myself kind of like out there, outside of my body. And so I've been practicing with when I catch that, just really coming back, like, you know, and it's kind of like I'm feeling the energy pulled back away from those things, and it comes right back into my body and completely energizes me.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
So
so I wouldn't have to explain to you what happens when we give attention to conditioned mind.
No.
Right? Because yeah. that's exactly what you're describing. And you're aware of actually literally looking to it.
Yes.
Your eyes follow it. Even if you closed your eyes, you could feel your eyes following.
Oh, definitely. Mm-hmm.
Following attention up to conditioned mind. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then
go ahead. No, I was just going to say it's like there's these patterns that the energy follows through these mazes, and it's just all external. It's like all, I don't know, it's like if there were colors with it, it would be like this smoke just kind of swirling, these colors of smoke just swirling all around out there, and just, it's like so busy and so, so far away from me, basically. And it's...
Yes, although it's supposed to be you. I can't tell. Michael, do you keep losing Jen a little bit, or is it just me?
A little bit. I hear her going out, in and out a little bit.
Okay, all right. So I'm sorry I started talking, Jen, because I thought you had stopped. So say what you just said again, please.
Oh, I'm not sure what I said at the end there.
Okay. Well,
yeah, go ahead.
All right. So... the interesting part about that is, I mean, it's really interesting that you're framing it the way you are, because most people would say all of that is me.
Mm.
And there isn't a realization that it's actually, in quotes, outside you.
Mm-hmm.
That you're actually looking for conditioned mind beyond your head. It seems like, until we pay attention, that it's all happening inside the head, which gives that illusion that it's me, that I'm doing this, I'm thinking this. This is my world. But what you're looking at is how there's a world around you that is being referenced, and I would call all of that conditioned mind. So it's the past, it's the future. It's other people, it's conversations, it's all kinds of, and you can watch, you can sense how that, well, as you said, the smoke swirling around, the colors, all of it around, creating this illusion of a consistent, constant entity that we call, and you call, Jen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But when you're sitting there with attention on awareness, you can sense the distance between that world, in quotes, that faux world, faux reality, and what is actually the energy of this human incarnation in form.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it feels like that draws the energy of this human incarnation elsewhere, and I can, literally...
Well, you feel it, right?
Yeah,
you feel
exactly.
It. It goes out there. I'm pointing. I'm waving my arms around here. So it goes out there, and you can feel, as soon as you turn your attention back to center, let's say, the energy comes back, as you say.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's really difficult to catch what it's doing when attention is going to conditioned mind, because that's your experience. When attention goes to conditioned mind, you experience that. And if it's scary stories, or if it's embarrassing stuff from the past, or if it's whatever it is, then you, in quotes, feel that way.
Yeah.
But then when you bring your attention back to here, then the form is energized, because now all of the energy is here with awareness.
Yes, exactly. And it feels like it dovetails a little bit with some things I've heard in practice lately about, you know, we're not here to be in relationship with looking at our conditioning.
Right.
We're here to be with the present. So it's like, I think for a long time I've been like, oh, okay, there's the smoke and it's doing this now. And now it's, oh, and then it acts this way. And my attention is still on. And I'm really getting the experience lately of like landing back in the body and, you know, the surprise of, oh, the body's not the scary place that conditioning has always said it would be, you know?
Yes,
and
yes.
It's very interesting. Yeah.
Yes, and the present moment is refuge, right?
Yes.
We only feel all that scary danger, whatever it is, when we let attention get pulled to conditioned mind. And, of course, that's what egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate is, right? That's a very long way of saying attention pulled into conditioned mind.
Yeah.
Or attention pulled into ego. Attention pulled into a false, in quotes, reality. That series of stories about stuff. We come back here into the body, into the present, there's no problem.
In fact,
there's a bunch of energy that feels really, really good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 Even if there's discomfort or pain somewhere, it's not everywhere. You know?
That's right. That's right. And there's a tremendous desire to be with that and to help that human being who's having that experience. I was just talking with somebody recently. I've talked to a lot of people recently, as a matter of fact, because tis the season for people to be spending time in bed with physical symptoms, you know, colds and flus and all of that. And the importance of being there with attention, with awareness, with the body, with what we would call a positive attitude.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
right? So bringing, being with the body, we leave those stories. Oh my gosh, I've got so much to do at work. How am I going to, I can't believe I'm sick again. This is awful. And then trying to get up and get back in the conditioned swing of things, but to be able to just stay there, appreciating the body, being, now here, let's go woo-woo, okay? Giving all of the good energy that we can to it so that it feels happy and supported and appreciated and comforted. And in that environment, it can heal most quickly.
Yeah. And one of the surprising things for me of this really resting in the body is that there aren't a lot of words. I know we've said that there's actually hardly any words, which is hard for a writer and editor to come around to. But it's like, you know, there's really a lot of stillness.
Yes, but you can take comfort in this, Jen. There are a lot of words that are sort of like it. Kind of like, and then it's one of those, I don't know how many words there are in the, Intuit, is that who the people are, the Eskimo kind of people, like 50 words for snow, how do you say it?
The Inuit.
Mm-hmm. Inuit, I like Intuit, wonder if they would like to be that. The Intuit people.
I think they probably are that.
I think they are that. They just, we put the extra T in for them. So at any rate, you know, like 50 words for snow, because it's that subtlety that we're closing in on, the nuances, right? And to be so present that we can sense that. But that's slightly different, and it's not an intellectual thing. We're not analyzing, we're not noodling, we're being present to it, much the way we were talking about with Catherine, so that there's just that that sensing of the subtlety.
Well, thank you.
It's thrilling,
very much.
Isn't it?
It's
you
very
are
exciting.
So very welcome.
Mm-hmm.
Life is exciting. And, you know, the less that's going on, the more exciting it is.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Yeah, my guess my other encouragement would be I've gone off Facebook this year, and it's like...
Oh, good for you.
I know, right? I have to be on there a little bit for a client, but, you know, I'm not on it for myself at this point, and it's really, really changing things.
Oh, yeah. Oh, gosh. Gosh. Yeah. Sometimes I think it's just because I'm old, you know, being able to remember what it was like before all of this. And and being pretty darn sure not very much has been improved with this level of ego distraction.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you very much.
We'll lead the charge away from distraction, because it is that subtlety that we're talking about. So my image for this that has always spoken to me, I don't know if it does to anybody else, but you're listening to music. People want to listen to it. They want to hear it better, so they turn it up.
Yeah.
Whereas what we're learning to do is turn it down and listen harder. Train ourselves to listen more attentively. That's the way to hear it better.
Yeah. Oh, that's so interesting, because you know, I'm in this training for the Feldenkrais method right now, and one of the principles of that practice is the slower and the smaller the movement, the more you sense and the more you feel.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. And he even encouraged
That's what we're learning to do.
Yeah. He encouraged people to do it in their imagination. You know?
Oh, yes.
Feel it
there first.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very fun.
I love it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thanks, Jen.
Thank you.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Jen. And Sherry, I think we have time for at least one more caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself? Next caller, are you there?
Here I am. This is Christine.
Oh, there she is.
Okay. All right. Hi, Christine.
Wow, how exciting. Can you hear me okay? I just put a mic.
Yes.
Okay, good.
Yes,
thank
beautifully.
Wow, so I'm going along listening to all the callers, and things are popping in that I would say to that with, you know, to join the conversation. And then just recently, I guess I've been distracted, but it's foggy, and I'm thinking, now what was everybody just talking about? Conditioning doesn't enjoy.
Isn't really excited about you following along with the conversation.
No. Yeah. Okay. But so one thing I can say is that. That I also have spent time at the monastery, and I've been listening a lot to recordings that I made there, and how much it's so striking how present I am with myself and all the recordings and how much love. I mean, it's amazing. I have a little example of that, so something happened at the monastery, and that I thought I was following the schedule going along, and apparently I wasn't following the correct schedule for myself, and a monk just so kindly and lovingly just let me know, you know, to do the thing I was supposed to be doing instead of what I thought I was supposed to be doing. And it was, and I could see that if I was at home or work or anywhere else and that happened, wow, would I have, mm-hmm. I really would have been in trouble in my mind. there would have been, I can imagine there would have been a lot of self-hate. But there wasn't any self-hate. It was so amazing. Just having that experience of, okay, I'm doing this. Okay, then I went and did that. And then I recorded and listened a lot after that. And it just wasn't a problem. And
yes.
I could see that with all that loving, kind support of recording and listening and being at the monastery, I was in the position to experience a, quote, mistake in the way I did, a loving, kind way. It just wasn't a problem.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. So, that's so important, isn't it? Because what we're conditioned to is this unexamined assumption, this belief that I think a lot of conditioned people have. Maybe everybody will look and let me know. But that the implication is that somehow you knew better, but you went ahead and did this other thing.
No, I didn't. Right.
Yeah. And yet, no, you didn't. And so what you had a chance to see in that situation was that innocence. You thought you were supposed to be doing something. It turns out you were supposed to be doing something else. Oh, okay. Good.
Yeah.
I thought that. Now I see this. Okay, good. And there you go. Off in that direction. And without self-hate, without tying into that belief that there's something wrong with you and you should have known better and why did you do that? How could you have made that mistake? Without and there was no place for that, right? Because nothing was supporting that, including you, because you were doing recording and listening. So then it just becomes obvious that, well, I didn't know, now I do. All right, here we are.
Yeah. Yeah, and how I knew a part of me, or just me, I guess, I don't know, wanted to go to group, wanted to do what I thought I was doing. I mean, I was following the schedule, and that's what I thought it said. So, but I really wanted to, I was so excited to do that. And so that was part of the reason, I think, that, I mean, I don't know about intuition and why it didn't drop in that, oh, wait, that's not the place for me. And it might have been because I was so excited to do that event, that thing. Do you know what I mean? I was kind of...
Yes.
Maybe
yes.
I was identified
and,
to some degree because I wanted to do that. And
well,
I thought I,
or...
I don't know.
Or maybe it was just the perfect workshop for you to have the experience that you had.
Yep.
Yeah. So conditioned mind would like us to look back and figure out, well, but how did I make that, in quotes, mistake? But was it a mistake? How could we call it a mistake when you saw something so vital as
a
result of it?
A lot. Yeah, a lot, and the kind people at the monastery, it's just not a problem. It's so nice. Yeah.
Right, right. Well, yes, because that's a group of people who, you know, it's not like we're not all works in progress, because we are. But the point is, we know there's nothing wrong.
Yeah.
Right? We know there aren't mistakes. We know that we're all doing the best that we can do. And everything is our best opportunity to see how we cause ourselves to suffer so we can drop that in suffering. So having everything happen in that context gives us the ability to see things that it's really tricky ever to get to see out in the world.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if I have, do I have time to ask you something else that's kind of related?
I don't know. Michael will probably tell us.
Well, we're at the top of the hour, so Sherry, I defer to you. I don't know if it's
Is it fast, Christine, or should we do it another time?
Well, I can tell you the subject, and we can do it another time.
Okay.
It has to do with when I was on retreat and I missed a guidance appointment with you, and how there was an intuitive feeling of, wait a minute, there's something I'm supposed to do next. What is, you know, and mm-hmm. I couldn't put my finger on it, but it seemed like there was something I needed to do, but I couldn't put my finger on it. And so another time that I call, I might ask you about your experience with that.
Uh-huh.
It's kind of a fun uh-huh. thing to look at in a way that, you know, something
yeah.
something seemed to be coming in, but it wasn't clear enough or something to get it, to get
uh-huh.
it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And, of course, yeah. where I'm going to take it when we talk next time is, what have you seen as a result of that? Because
yeah,
that's
okay.
really the same, it's the yeah. same issue, right? You're meant to be in one place, you're in another place, and then what do we get to see as a result of that?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, all right,
great.
Good.
Well, thank you so much.
We'll talk soon. All right,
okay,
thank you,
great.
Christine.
Thanks. Good night.
Good night. And thank you, Michael.
Thank you, Christine, and thank you, Sherry. You're welcome. It was a great show. I
fun
enjoyed
show,
it. I
yeah.
A lot. And
yeah,
I'm
me
very
too.
Glad to be a part
me
of all
too.
This.
Yeah, I know the feeling. Yeah. All right, so we'll
great.
Do it again soon.
Perfect. Thank you, Sherry.
All right. Thanks, Michael. Good
thank
night.
You. Good night.